Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. And as you do, we're going to be looking at verse 10 on tonight. And I find it interesting that Solomon has been talking about God's Word, and he's been talking about how it can lead you, how it can guide you, and everything else. And it's been giving this really proactive version of or idea of what God's Word is. But here he's going to talk about something a little different. And he's going to talk about what God's Word does for you, how it protects you. And I really like this because I think it brings up an interesting issue in our lives today. And I think if we were all honest, we could all say that most of the time when we turn to God, most of the time when our country turns to God, when our nation finally goes back to church, is when there's a huge disaster going on and we need help right now. How many of you could admit that that's basically the cycle in your life, right? You're really on fire when there's a trial, and then when things get good, you kind of allow your relationship with God to wane. You allow the things of life to take your attention off of the Lord, and then you'll do okay for a little bit, but then you'll start to not read your Bible. You'll start to not pray. You'll start to, I don't have to go to church today. But if you find out that you have cancer, if a loved one dies, if there's a terrorist attack on our nation, if you lose your job, all of a sudden, you're right back into the swing of it. You're praying, you're begging God to fix your problems. And most of the time in my personal life, just for me, you might be better than I am, but for me personally, I don't find myself praying effectively or studying effectively, because in those times of crisis, what I find myself doing is begging God to deal with this issue now, rather than being productive in my study and productive in my prayer. Now, maybe you're better than I am, but most of the time for me, that's what I find myself doing. And I think one of the most important things that we can realize about God's Word is that God's Word is protective. And there's an old saying, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And the idea is, if you are preventative in nature in your life, if you do things to prevent disaster, it's better than cleaning them up, okay? And one of the things that we have a tendency to do is forget that when it comes to our spiritual life. Now, he starts in chapter 2, verse 10, and he says, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you." Now notice what he says here. He says it's going to preserve and keep you. And my desire this evening is that as we look at the rest of chapter 2, that we see that if we have a consistent relationship with Jesus, if we consistently find ourselves in prayer and reading God's Word and going to Him with this relationship and working on our relationship, that it will prevent, it will preserve, it will keep you. Now, it's the same thing in your relationship with Jesus as it is with your relationship with your spouse or your children. We go through these cycles in every relationship that we have. You know, if you're married and you wait until there's a disaster to work on your marriage, which most people here will do, okay? You get caught up at work, you get caught up in your career, you get caught up with the kids, you get caught up with whatever, and then all of a sudden, once disaster strikes, we gotta work on our marriage. We have to go to counseling, or we need to go on a date, or we need to get away for the weekend. And it's not until there's a disaster that you actually end up thinking about those things. With your children, you drift apart and they live their life and you live your life. And it's not until one of them gets suspended or arrested or something else bad happens that you realize, oh, I need to work with my kids on my relationship with my kids. With your friends, you grow apart slowly and you don't pay attention and you find yourself not hanging out with them anymore. And then you realize, hey, I'm lonely. I need to get back with my friends. Every relationship works the same way. It will only produce that which you apply into it, what you put into it. But at the same time, if you are consistent with your relationships, if you're consistently working on your marriage, if you're consistently building your relationship with your children, if you're consistently building your relationship with your friends, then what will happen is that those relationships and that investment will preserve as well as keep you safe. Now the Lord, he's going to give us the way that we can invest into our relationship with him, that it would preserve and keep us. So continue on with me there in verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Now, this first way that it protects you, and I'd like you to write this on your outline, is that it protects you from an evil heart. Go back and read it with me again. He says, to deliver you from the way of evil. Now, that's an interesting thing. Because sometimes we find ourselves in the way of evil. It's interesting that in the first century, you know what Christianity was called? The way. That's what they called themselves. They weren't called Christians yet. They were just called the way. And I find that really interesting because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now there is a way, the way, to get to heaven. And then there's the evil way. And the Bible talks about that when it says that wide is the path or the way to destruction and narrow is the path that goes to heaven, and they are few that find it. So when we talk about this evil way, the way of evil, it's every other way except for to Jesus. That's the way of evil. Now, have you ever found yourself in the way? It's interesting because I want you to think about that. There's a lot of times that we find ourselves in the way. Think of a child who wanders into the street not knowing that they're in the way of traffic. And kids don't think, right? So you have to constantly be watching them and being on top of them. And if you see them running out into the street after their ball, they may not be aware that they're in the way of evil. They didn't intentionally put themselves there, but they have found themselves there. And once you find yourself in an evil place, it's really hard to get back. It's really tough to get back. And one of the things I find so important is that we need to keep ourselves out of the way. Just like you want to keep your children out of traffic. Now, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the path of sinners, and who sits not in the seat of the scornful. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It's very interesting that when you think about that, bad people will give you bad advice, and that always leads to the second part of that verse, where you stand in the path of sinners. You know, when you're thinking about what you should be doing with your life, a lot of times we forget this idea that we need to protect our path from going into traffic. There's a really, really, really good book, I think it's by Jenkins, and it's called Hedges. It's just called Hedges. And if you haven't read it, it's an amazing book. And it's about how we should set up hedges or barriers in our lives so that we don't go in the wrong way, in the wrong path, in the wrong area. If you have a good relationship with God and you're in His Word consistently, He says that being in God's Word, when wisdom enters your heart, when you're studying God's Word, when you're listening, when you're praying, it will deliver you from the way of evil. I think of this like those K-rails that they have on the freeway. You know the big concrete things that they put in between the traffic on the freeway? They're designed to not let you go in the way of evil, the oncoming traffic, right? The whole thing is, even if you hit it, you crash into it, hopefully it'll bring your car back onto your own side so that way you're not going to be in the wrong way. You need barriers in your life. You need hedges. You need barriers in your life that will keep you from doing evil. And some of those things that you can have are, for example, you might have a hedge in your life that says, I will not find myself alone with the person of the opposite sex. I just won't do it at all. I'm going to put a barrier there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to find myself alone in a room with somebody because that's not going to lead to anything good. That is bad by definition. Now, as you read God's Word, as you take in His Word, as you build your relationship with Him, He says that by getting wisdom through God's Word, you're going to be delivered from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And the first thing He says here is that person who's giving you bad counsel. I am flabbergasted by how many people get their marriage counseling from divorced people. or people who've never been married. If you're divorced, God bless you. But you know what? There are plenty of people who've been very powerful in their marriages and been through very tremendous things that should be counseling others on how to succeed, right? How many of you would go to somebody who's broke and homeless and ask them for financial advice? Probably not a good idea, is it? How many of you would take driving lessons from somebody who got their license revoked for DUI? How many of you want a doctor who's old and decrepit, who has liver failure because he drank himself to almost to death? No. You want somebody who's actually good at that to give you counsel and advice. And one of the things that we need to be aware of as we seek after the Lord is we need to seek after people who don't speak perverse things, but who speak the things of God, who talk about God's word and who share God's word, who teach God's word, who encourage you to pray. From those who leave the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. So by being in God's word, you know, one of the problems is sometimes you get sideswiped by a friend who convinces you that what they're telling you to do is the right thing. Okay? And what he's saying here is you need to be in God's word preemptively, because if you're in God's word before that happens, when they come and try to tell you to do these bad things, these perverse things, to leave the path of righteousness, to go into the path of unrighteousness, you're going to say, you know what? I may not know everything, but I know that's wrong. I may not know what's right, but I can tell what's wrong. When you're working for a bank and they want to teach you how to tell false currency from good currency, you know what they do? They don't show you a whole bunch of false bills. They don't. They just teach you what a real bill feels like, smells like, and looks like. They teach you about the real thing. They teach you to feel the real paper, to smell the real ink, that Mikker encoded ink. They teach you to know what that little strip looks like and everything else, so that when you're counting it, you'll be able to tell the fake ones just because you know the real deal. If you really want to know righteousness, don't study wickedness. Study righteousness. And whenever something else comes along that you've never encountered before and they start talking to you, you'll say, hey, you know what? I don't know what that is, but it's not real. It's not the truth. It's not righteousness. You're trying to get me off the right path because I don't recognize that. That's why Paul told the disciples, he said, if anybody comes and starts preaching another gospel to you, whether it be us or even an angel from heaven, call them accursed. Don't listen. Know the truth. The truth will set you free, and don't trust anything else. And that should be our focus, is to know the truth through God's word. So he says there, they're going to try to get you to not only leave the path of righteousness and uprightness, but and to walk in the ways of darkness, but there will be people out there who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked and will convince you that it's okay. But he says, if you focus your heart on God and your relationship with him, if you're in prayer consistently, if you're studying wisdom consistently, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be protected from an evil heart. You see, my heart tends to be wicked. Anybody else have that problem? Okay, my heart tends to want to be evil. My heart tends to want to do bad things. But he says, if you are taking in God's righteousness through his word, if you're studying God's word, it will protect you from that evil heart. And I think one of the things that we also have to consider is there are people out there, I'm gonna ruffle some feathers real quick, but there are shows like Game of Thrones that you really shouldn't be watching. I'm gonna name that one that's basically pornography on cable, okay? And if you watch that show, please stop. I'm gonna just say it straight up. Don't watch the show. It's evil, it's wicked, it's nasty. And if you're watching that, all you're getting is pornography. And what do you think your heart is going to tend towards if that's what you're ingesting, if that's what you're taking in? What are you going to do? You're going to copy it, aren't you? Think about that for a minute, because if you are addicted to pornography, if you are addicted to gossip, if you are addicted to these evil things, what's going to happen to your heart? Your heart is going to tend towards the path of evil. If you listen to music with cuss words and nastiness that talks about bad things, what do you think your heart is going to tend towards? It's going to tend towards evil, towards wickedness. If you watch these shows that encourage racism, bigotry, that encourage demeaning women, that encourage all these other things, what do you think your heart is going to do? If you watch shows about atheism and all this other stuff, what do you think your heart is going to do? So as you serve the Lord, he says, protect your heart. Now, in today's age, you might say, but then, Pastor, how would I watch TV? Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe that is something that you need to consider for yourself. You know, there is a lot of stuff out there that's okay. There is. But be careful what you're taking in. If you focus on taking in God's wisdom through his word, and you work on cutting out some of this bad influence in your life, he says it will protect your heart from being evil. And that's really one of the biggest things that you can learn tonight, is that you need to focus your heart on the right things, that you would act appropriately when bad times come up. One of the things that is the most important thing to do is train yourself to do what's right before something bad happens. All of our children's ministry workers have to know how to do CPR and first aid. All of them. Why? We don't try to teach them, oh, look, Johnny's choking. Come here. Let me teach you how to do CPR. No, that's not the way it works. Johnny would die. Maybe the next kid would be helped, but Johnny's going to die. What do? We say, hey, we're going to teach you CPR before something bad happens. That way your first reaction when something bad happens is going to be just follow what you've been taught. Does that make sense? Why do we have fire drills in schools? To teach kids, when that bell goes off, this is how you evacuate, this is where you meet. When something bad happens, you already know what to do. When you study God's word, when you focus on a relationship with him, when you pray, when the difficult times come, it's not like you're trying to just figure out how to get through it, but you already know how to react when the difficult time comes, and you're not trying to learn in a difficult situation. But he goes on in verse 16 to say something else. To deliver you from the immoral woman. Now this is interesting. From the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Right on that second line of your outline. To protect against or from a lustful heart. Now, the first one is an evil heart, something that just wants to do bad things, okay? Maybe angry or maybe sinful, maybe stealing or lying or cheating or other things like that. But this one is probably the number one heart issue affecting America today. Lust. And I'm not talking about just men, and I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking about men, women, children. Everybody is going to deal with this issue today. You watch television and they will try to sell you toothpaste with a girl in a bikini. Okay? But not just that. Ladies are targeting you too. And pornography isn't just for men. It's for women as well. Women out there are stuck on and hooked on pornography just as much as men are. And you see children, 8, 7, 6 years old, addicted to pornography. You see children getting involved in sexual relationships, younger and younger and younger. And they're trying to teach your children. And by the way, our society in general teaches today 5-year-olds about their quote unquote sexuality, which they haven't even discovered yet. They're teaching them about sexuality at 5 years old in kindergarten. It's not just about your sexual urges though. It's about just the perversity and the perverting of those sexual urges, to move away from God's design of a marriage between one man and one woman, to move now into same-sex relationships, asexual relationships, to say that gender doesn't matter anymore and that you can do whatever you want and that you don't have to follow God's design. And so he says that if you, remember, go back to verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, so when you have this desire, when you purposefully seek God's word through reading his word and through prayer, then it will deliver you from the immoral woman. So if you're a woman here today, it will deliver you from immorality. You could just say it for immorality. He's using it because it's talking about the father to his son trying to explain it, but you can use this for men and women. We tend to immorality. Girls today want to have a good relationship. And one of the biggest problems in relationships today is that girls who don't have fathers or fathers who don't have good relationship with their daughters are pushing their daughters away. So their daughters are looking for that relationship somewhere else. They're looking for that connection somewhere else. And so guys, if you have daughters here, you better be there. You better be the guy who's having a good relationship with them, who's encouraging them. They need, you know, your daughters need to be hugged, actually touched, hugged. When was the last time you gave your daughter a hug? You just went over there and gave her a real hug. When was the last time that you held her hand when you walked down the street? Think about it. We cannot stand as people to be isolated. We cannot stand as people to be separated. And so if you have daughters, you need to be taking care of your daughters and spending time with your daughters and going on dates with your daughters and teaching them that they're important and that they're valuable by building your relationship with them. If you fail to do that, they will find someone else to do that instead of you. That's a very scary thought as a parent. If you have sons, you need to be teaching them how to have a proper relationship with a woman. If you are single, you need to be focused on finding someone who is going to worship Jesus and encourage you to worship Jesus. These are things that we have to understand, that we need to protect our heart from being adulterous and from being immoral, and we need to focus our heart on being in a right relationship. Now, it starts with Jesus, because marriage is a symbol of your relationship with Jesus, okay? When you come to Christ, you are spiritually, if you would, we become the bride of Christ, and we become one with Him. We don't separate from Him, we don't turn to anybody else, because from here on out, we're His. When you get married, it's much the same way. When you get married, you leave the world, you only have eyes for your spouse. That's all that you want from here on out. That's all you're going to look at. That's all you're going to desire. And as you have a good relationship with Jesus, as you seek intimacy with Him, as you seek to know Him and to be known by Him, what happens is you have eyes only for Him, and you're not looking around at anything else to try to fulfill that need in your heart. A lot of people out there are looking for entertainment to fulfill their spiritual needs. They're looking for money to fill their spiritual needs. They're looking for all kinds of things to try to make them feel better. But in the end, the only thing that will ever make you feel right in your heart is Jesus Christ. And what God wants from you today is that you would invest in your relationship with Him, that your eyes wouldn't wander. Guys, if you have a problem with lust, one of the fastest ways to get rid of it is to invest in your marriage. Seriously, invest in your marriage, invest in your wife, invest in and spending time with her and talking to her and building your relationship with her. It's one of the fastest ways, because when you're truly in love with someone, your eyes don't wander to somebody else, do they? It's time that we got back to that. So He says, if wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, when you desire that relationship and you work on your relationship with God, then it will protect you from the lustful heart. But finally, I want you to look at verse 20. That you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And here in this last little section here, I want you to write on your outline, protection to walk rightly. Walk rightly. Because when you have done these things, when you have inclined your heart to wisdom and you have sought after the Lord, so you do that you might walk in the way of goodness. My encouragement to you is this: don't just turn to Jesus when you run into problems in your life. Turn to Him long before you deal with the issues. Turn to Him. You don't buy insurance when you have an accident. You buy it long before you have the accident. And when you invest in Christ, and when you invest in your relationship with Christ before problems arise, then what will happen is when the trials come and the difficulties are there, then what does it say? It will help you to walk rightly, so that you may walk rightly. But if you fail, now let's look at the opposite for just a second. What if you haven't prepared? I love apocalyptic movies, okay? That's one of my favorite genres out there. You know, end of the world scenarios and stuff like that. I just love those kinds of movies, where they have bunkers or where people, and there's these TV shows online where you have these reality shows showing how people build underground bunkers at their house and stuff. I just think it's cool. to watch how they build these things and how they put the air scrubbers in there, and they have their food and they have all their stuff in their little bunker. So when we all get raptured, they're going to go into their bunker and wait out the end of the world. Okay. But so I don't need one. I just like to look at how they build them. But I want you to think about this for a minute. What if the end of the world comes and you don't have a bunker? Now, if you've ever watched any of these movies or these TV shows, they're all fighting to the death to get into one of these bunkers because they're afraid of what's outside, right? And everything is going haywire. What happens if you're in an emergency and you don't know what to do? Have you ever had that happen? You ever freaked out because something bad happened and you did not know what to do? Isn't that the scariest feeling in the world? How would you feel if your child is choking and you don't know what to do? That would be scary. Dr. Heimlich, the guy who came up with the Heimlich maneuver, was at a restaurant a couple weeks back, and he actually used the Heimlich maneuver on a restaurant, one of the people there who was choking. And it was really funny because Dr. Heimlich, the guy who came up with the Heimlich maneuver, happened to be there at this restaurant when this lady started choking. So he's, you know, like 90 or whatever he is now, and he goes up and he gives her the Heimlich. He was prepared. It was his namesake. I mean, he, out of all people in the world, he should have been able to do this, right? How can you react well when the trials come, when disaster strikes? There are people who are calm and collected in disasters. Have you ever met one of them? They're amazing, aren't they? They just know what to do. They're cool about it. They're very calm. They're like the stewardess on the airplane as it's going down. Please put on your masks. All right, and then when we do crash land, follow, you're going to come out the door. Thank you for flying United. You know, it's like, how? That's not going to be me. You want to know how to get out the plane? Follow me out the door. I'm not going to be standing there thinking, people, oh, watch your head on your way out. No, follow me. I'll take you with me. But think about it. Those people who are calm and collected are trained and prepared. You want to be that person today. You want to be the person who invests in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that when the trials come, you're the calm and collected person who's not worried because your heart is prepared for whatever comes your way. That's why he says to walk, so that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth. So if you fail to do this, then you're going to end up going the wrong way in traffic on the freeway and getting into head-on collision with a semi-truck. Okay? But if you do focus on your heart, then you're going to be the person who knows what to do in an emergency and is able to calmly resolve the situation and focus other people back onto the Lord, which is awesome. So tonight, as we close, this week, purpose in your heart to read God's word. Purpose in your heart to pray, not because there's a disaster, but because you love him and you're building your relationship with him. And as you do that, I guarantee that you're going to find peace, comfort, and strength that you didn't have before. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we pray that you would just tonight bless each one here as they desire to serve you and walk after you. And as they do, Father, I pray that you would just continue to strengthen each one as they read your word and as they learn to walk in your ways. So thank you, Father, and we pray that you would just bless this time as we go before you in communion. In Jesus' name, amen.